We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Okay, so I had it wrong. Ryan Goodwin from the White Sox is going to join us any minute now, which is exciting. Cannot wait to talk to him about the vibe on that team post-trade deadline and the bat toss and expectations for the second half. But we have huge breaking Bulls news, and breaking news on the Score is powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Yeah. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. The Spurs are finalizing sending DeMar DeRozan to the Chicago Bulls for Thad Young, a future first-round pick, and 2 second-round picks.
That's a lot, Danny, for DeMar DeRozan at age 31. A real scorer, 8 years in a row.
How about Thaddeus?
But what, Thad?
$85 million.
Oh, wow. I just saw the contract. Okay, 3 years. Man, so that's crazy. If you guys, I don't know if you guys heard transition, but I was saying to Lawrence, two, I was cool with DeRozan. Four was too much.
Three is
they ended up splitting the difference there on three. Because my thought was, if DeRozan lined up with Vucevic, who's got the 2 years left, then great, because you're not winning a championship with this core anyway. What's interesting about that, there's a lot interesting there, but I thought that they were going to be giving up Lauri Markkanen in this sign-and-trade. So,
they going to end up with Lauri Markkanen on this over-the-cap team?
I don't think so. So, I mean, I guess they can still find a team to take Lauri Markkanen, but Thad Young not here anymore, and DeMar DeRozan is. It's weird because DeMar DeRozan is a very good basketball player.
He is, and he is an alpha scorer. And used to being the first option in San Fran, and he was the first option over Kyle Lowry in Toronto, too.
Yeah, this is, right, eight straight years of averaging 20 or more?
Eight straight years of 20-plus. It's going to be interesting. Do you think it's a lock that Zach LaVine is going to sign that max extension and be here? This feels a little bit like preparation for Zachlessness, potentially.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they'd be crazy to give up on Zach LaVine. I don't think Zach's going to sign an extension this offseason when he can get much more next year. Mm-hmm. Even if he doesn't make All-NBA. I mean, if he makes All-NBA, he can get a Supermax. But even if he just has another great year because of then time spent with the team, he can get like another, I think it's like $30 million something.
Hey, real quick, is Jerry Reinsdorf good? Everything okay and his head up there? It's a lot of money going out of the Reinsdorf pockets that we're not used to.
That's the NBA, man. The NBA is crazy, stupid money. Eventually, everybody gets it. Doug McDermott signed a 3-year, $42 million deal yesterday.
I'm hearing that Reinsdorf is giving Brian Goodwin a $50 million extension.
That's exciting.
Could be.
For our next guest. We're looking forward to talking to him. But So he's coming off of, I had it up his contract, but I closed the tab. But he's coming off a 5-year, $147 million deal. So he was making like $27 million a year. And he just got basically $27 million a year for 3 more years. That feels like an overpay to me.
How about the one? Because they gave up 2 ones for Vooch and now a third first round pick going away for DeMar DeRozan. This is very much a let's get as good as we can right now kind of move again by Arturas.
Yeah, wow. And here's the thing. They are better. DeMar DeRozan is better than Thaddeus Young. They did need a second shot creator and scorer outside of Zach LaVine, because Lonzo's a very good passer, but he's not a shot creator. And Vooch is a good scorer with post moves, but he's not really a typical shot creator.
It's a really interesting team. This is a really interesting construction. It doesn't fit with, like, you know, building a roster for the long haul and let's see what we can do. This is like, let me grab another real good player and they'll figure it out because they're real good players. You know, it's 6.9 assists per game last year for DeMar. So a willing passer on a team that's going to have a lot of passers. And maybe he's ready for a little less of being the alpha scorer, because that's Zach on this team, Zach and Vooch.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if you would have told me 2 years ago that the Bulls would have two All-Stars, their own fourth overall pick, their own seventh overall pick, and DeMar DeRozan, and Lonzo, and an emerging star 24-year-old point guard.
Yeah, you take that every time.
Take it every single time.
You'd be thrilled.
It is a weird construction. They're giving up on draft picks. They're basically saying, we are going to win, and we are going to win meaningfully in the next, because you can't trade back-to-back years of picks. So they've traded every other first-round pick now for
the next 5 years.
This year, then 2 years out, then presumably another 2 years out. So, yeah, five drafts, they will have only two first-round picks.
Time is now for the Bulls to be competent and relevant in the East. That roster is going to make them very relevant in the playoff mix for the East. That's going to be a really interesting team to match up with defensively. And I'm not saying they're going to hang with the Bucks or they're going to hang with Atlanta necessarily, or whoever the emerging real good teams are going to end up being. But that's a difficult guard. You got to guard DeRozan and Zach.
Well, you got to guard DeRozan and Zach and Vooch.
With Lonzo ready to clean up some misses and space the floor a little bit.
Spot up 3-point shooter, obviously.
Yep.
Then there's Patrick Williams, who's the wild card in all this. Now, they're obviously not Milwaukee. They're obviously not Brooklyn if healthy. And Philly, who knows?
Who knows? Philly's going to deal Ben Simmons, and you don't even know what that roster's going to look like.
Yeah, but Daryl Morey's running the show there, and that guy acquires talent. And playing with Joel Embiid, who's better than any player on the Bulls, is still a very attractive thing for them. And so I'd say Brooklyn, obviously better. Milwaukee, obviously better. Miami, with
Kyle Lowry,
getting Kyle Lowry with Jimmy Butler and Bam and Tyler Hero and Robinson. I think Miami is still better also. But I do think the Bulls are a thing or two wrong happening away from the ceiling being the 3 seed, but I still think more realistically the ceiling is the 5 or 6 seed.
I'm going to say this, by the way, that the Eastern Conference is now way more interesting to me than the Western Conference. Like, it is. I mean, you got the champs, and we'll see. I know it's a weird year for them to be the champs, and you got big names there. But, man, everybody thinking Brooklyn was fait accompli, and it didn't happen because of the injuries. And now you've got all these other teams trying to build, you know, who's going to be the 2 seed or the 3 seed, all the way down to 6 or 7 is a really interesting batch.
Yeah, and how the pressure's on Billy Donovan to make this all work, because the Vucevic trade is a failure so far, because they traded for an all-star and gave up 2 first-round picks and didn't make the playoffs. And now you just traded another first-round pick. What are they going to do with Lowry Markkanen, by the way? Like, are they going to somehow be able to sign and trade him? Is anyone interested in Lowry Markkanen?
Somebody's got to be. Some bad team needs him.
Can there be rim protection on this Bulls team?
That's what it's going to end up being. Lowry has to be a sign and trade for bigs. There is no Daniel Tice now. There's not even any Thaddeus Young. I'm bummed about Thaddeus.
Sorry, Dr. NBA. That must have hurt.
Just because of the drop.
Yeah, no, that's probably the main reason. But yeah, he's away from the screen right now. It's okay. But they're a really, really interesting team. I gotta say though, it feels like an overpay for DeMar DeRozan, and given his age.
You mean
and
the
his,
money or the
years.
Picks?
The years. The years mainly. Like, giving up a first round pick and not having his timeline line up with Vooch, and yeah, the money.
I feel I feel all right about 3 years. It's not four. It's not five. You know,
that's true by definition.
Correct.
It's not two. It's not one.
I can survive with the 3 years. In terms of the overpay on the dollars, it's very difficult for me to say that about the NBA because, you know, the money's so bananas. But the one I'm a little bummed about. We'll get back to it.
We will get back to the Bulls signing and trading for DeMar DeRozan as we welcome our next guest, the king of the bat flip, Billy Hamilton.
It was pretty clear when you connected, you knew it. Oh, that was going to clear the fences out there.
Man, in my mind it was. I pray to God I was right, but I just happened to be so. But, yeah, I have very little doubt.
Here it is.
Gets a 3-1 fastball and rides it out of the yard. This fastball down the middle, our happy home run replay by Ford. He knew it when it left the bat. The fans knew it. He's going to send them home happy this beautiful Sunday. Sox take the series and move the Indians back to 9 games back. Courtesy of Brian Goodwin and that line drive rocket that sent everybody home.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Well, don't I feel like a horse's ass? Not Billy Hamilton, Brian Goodwin. I got the guy's page up right here. We prepped for it. We watched the video 100 times before the show. I apologize. Brian Goodwin joins us on the Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Brian, thank you so much for being on the show and putting up with my idiocy. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing all right, man. I'm going to go grab Billy in a second so he can come in and finish
his game. I don't want to talk to Billy.
We want to talk to you, Brian.
I'm so sorry.
I don't even think.
Let me see what Billy's doing right now. Let me see if he's busy.
I don't even think Billy could get that bat that high in the air. No offense to Billy. You're a much thicker, stronger human being, Brian Goodwin.
You can't even sweep me up now. Too late.
God, you're right.
It was him. It wasn't me, Brian.
It was me. Uh-huh. I know. I'm the worst. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very smart. I'm a dumbass. You're a good-looking individual. I'm ugly. We're all in agreement on that.
That is amazing.
But, Brian, in all seriousness, am I wrong in calling that a bat flip? Because it felt like a bat launch of sorts.
I don't even know what would be a quality name for it. I think, I don't know. Let's say it was something in between that. It was something in between a bat flip and, like, a launch, like a toss. I really ain't sure. I just know I got my inspiration from T.A.
See, that's the question. Like, you are a more aggressive and enthusiastic bat flipper and tosser because you're here as part of this White Sox bunch, right? Like Anaheim Angel Brian Goodwin isn't doing that. The White Sox have brought this out of you, haven't you? You're enjoying this year, Brian. It's clear.
I mean, when in the South Side, you got to act like, you know, South Sider, so... that's just the energy they was giving me. It's only right that I've returned it, right?
Have you ever been around a group like this with this type of culture?
In pro baseball, I might have to say no. I haven't witnessed anything like this probably since high school. Honestly, just the energy and the atmosphere and even the fans, down to the fans, just the how diehard they are, how much they ride for their city and their team, man, it's really like one of a kind.
Who helps drive that? Obviously TA, but there's probably other guys in there that we don't realize are drivers of that culture a little bit, Brian.
Man, I think there's a lot of people that feed off of their energy. You know, our pitchers, Lance Lynn, Rodon, obviously, Billy, our position players, Billy and T.A., me, Pito. The locker room, I mean, we love it here. We love the South Side, man. We love playing in front of the fans. So, and the energy that comes with it.
When you say that, like, you love the South Side and the fans, I mean, the attendance over the weekend was obviously incredible. How have you, like, taken to that fan base and vice versa? Because it does feel like this team has taken on the personality of its fans, but that's rare in pro sports. You see it in college, you mentioned high school, but, like, what is it about the South Side that you think impacts how you guys play on the field and how you carry yourself?
Honestly, man, I haven't been here, you know, long enough to see, you know, how it was before and the change that it is now. But they got a logo up here that's changed the game. And I think it's really just a reflection of that. It's just taking everything into consideration and, you know, how the game's evolving, how you know, bat flips are getting popular and how, you know, just celebrating and living in the moment is a big thing. I think everybody's starting to realize it and catch on to it and grow kind of organically with all of that.
What'd you think of Tony La Russa's running skills, Brian? Like, I mean, Lance Lynn said he was high-kneeing it up there. I don't know. The knees didn't seem to go too high, but he did scoot a little bit and got there.
Yeah, he was moving. If you look back at the clip, I think you could see a little dust being kicked up. So, I mean, that's usually a telltale sign, you know, somebody going pretty fast. It was the arms, the upper body for me. It's just they was a little bit tight. You know, I've been watching some of the Olympics and some of those runners and, you know, kind of comparing. Only difference I could really see was kind of the upper body was a little bit tight. But, you know, we can always work on that.
Also, that's high-kneeing his ass off getting out there. I loved it.
Lance Lynn high-kneeing his ass off. But it's like we know that you guys ball bust everyone in that clubhouse, right? Like Hendricks has talked about. Yeah, if you knew, you come in, we make fun of you, and then you're just one of the guys. Can you guys make fun of Tony when he runs like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody is off limits. In this clubhouse, nobody's off limits.
So who gives it to Tony? Like, who's the person that starts the roast on the manager?
Oh, man, hey, look, you're trying to get me in trouble, man.
No. Listen, I'm the only one who's in trouble for this interview, sir.
Hey, Billy, we're really enjoying this, Billy.
Yeah, that's right. Blame it on Bill.
That's right. You can say anything you want now. People will be like, you'll never believe what Billy Hamilton said on the radio.
Man, Billy was talking crazy on the radio the other day, wasn't he?
God, I'm never going to live it down, man. Absolutely terrible.
Hey, Brian, does this feel full circle in some ways? Drafted by the White Sox, right? Out of high school before you went to North Carolina. Was there any chance that you were going to sign with him? Did you think about it at the time?
I mean, the way it worked out, it kind of just fizzled out. It was a weird situation, but from my understanding, we just kind of talked and they made a move and it just caught everybody off guard. And then when it came time to sign, I think they signed the guy that they picked, somebody ahead of me. And, you know, that was kind of that. It was just like, you know, all right, well, it's time to go to school. Now that I'm here, man, I'm grateful to be here for sure.
We're talking to Brian Goodwin, Parkins, and Spiegel on The Score. The clubhouse and the mood and the confidence and the swagger has been evident for a while now, frankly, on this team, more so than just this year. But I'm wondering, after the trade deadline comes and goes, and you see what type of investment the front office made in this year's team winning this year, did anything change, or how did that trade deadline resonate in the clubhouse?
Obviously everybody was watching. So we knew it was a big deal, and you know, we knew that potentially there were going to be some moves made, like there were. And I think we came out looking pretty good. I think the moves we made, the guys we made, the personalities we picked up, you know, I don't know how much research and stuff goes into stuff like that, but I think we ended up with a bunch of guys that meshed really well. Cesar has been great. Kimbrel's great. Tep is great. I mean, they're right across the other side of town, so they got an idea, you know, how Chicago kind of feels about his baseball. So, I mean, just getting those guys and bringing them over here and you know, feeling them out and getting to know them, so far has been great.
This is the sixth organization that Brian Goodwin has been in. I remember when the Pirates let you go, Brian, I was right away like, oh, man, that guy can play. Because you've got tools and you have had times in your life for these different organizations where you've played real well and had extended stretches. Is this the most fun you've had right now, winning and being a part of this batch right here?
Man, honestly, there's nothing better than winning, first and foremost. Like, I love to win. I hate to lose. You know, and so when you're winning, everything is going good, man. It just feels good. Everybody's meshing, everybody's clicking, and then you just throw in the fact that we got, you know, great staff, great coaches, great team, camaraderie. Everybody's together, man. It's hard to beat.
See, I was trying to get you to say it was the most fun because that's what Billy Hamilton said. Billy said it's the most fun he's ever had in his career. So I was just double checking, you know.
See, I won't disagree. How about that?
I appreciate that. I was looking at your Twitter feed and you were talking about how the money is crazy in the NBA. The Bulls just gave DeMar DeRozan $85 million. I'm curious how you've experienced all of these all of this free agency and transactions, and if you follow the Bulls at all.
Man, not recently, but when D Rose is here, D Rose is my favorite player at one time in the NBA.
Me too.
Obviously, you know, yeah, obviously once he was coming out of Memphis and doing what he was doing, man, and he had the Adidas contract, I had his shoes, I had his jersey. I always had love for the Bulls, and obviously, you know, Jordan from Carolina, so. It's always love there, but man, the money they throwing around. I saw y'all got Lonzo Ball too.
Yep.
He got crazy paid. I mean, look, man, I just need to know who to talk to, who the agent. If y'all can find out that for me, that'd be great, and just send it over to the clubhouse, man. I got some phone calls to make.
You chose the wrong sport.
Yeah, you were a three sport guy in high school, right? It's all conference and football.
Yep.
You think you could have gone pro in one of those other sports, Brian?
I'm gonna say baseball chose me. You know, basketball. You know, you got to be blessed. You know, there's certain blessings that are kind of requirement in that sport. You know, that I didn't get, but football would have been a good one to explore. It's one of those ones I was gonna play both in college, and that was part of like. My whole package going to college, like I can go play two sports and then I'll figure it out from there. But I think baseball just ended up choosing me, man. I got on campus and I enjoyed it. And, you know, the draft came around and I saw my opportunity and I took it.
Hey, Brian, I remember when you came up, the first game that you played with the White Sox, I believe, Tony put you in the two hole, didn't he? Like right away. And I remember thinking, man, That's interesting. Veteran manager, what does that mean to you? Like from the get-go, it's obvious that Tony thought you could play and you've helped immediately and right away.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got to meet Tony like a little bit last year with the Angels when he was over there kind of working with us. So, I don't know if he got a chance to like look at my game or what, but yeah, when I saw it, I was like, man, he kind of just threw me in the fire right here. Like it's really time to strap it on and get going. And I wasn't worried about the opportunity. I was grateful for it. But yeah, that two hole win. First time I saw that, I was like, okay, Tony, okay, I'm gonna figure you out. I'm gonna see where we're going with this. And you know, I'm gonna just go out there and do what I gotta do. And it ended up being a great thing. It ended up lasting for a little while. I liked it. So, you know, hopefully we get back there.
Brian, you guys have such a big lead and the expectations. I mean, Rick Hahn has talked about it. You know, he says, like, talk to me after the parade. And this is going to be judged by, you know, winning pennants and World Series. Do you have any concern of complacency sitting in, given that we are still a couple of months away from the playoffs?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I think if anything, we might be more eager. We starting to, you know, kind of see that finish line. We're kind of getting over the hill now. We starting to, you know, get on track to get prepared for what's next. I think if anything, man, we might be kicking a little bit harder right now. Not to the point to, you know, wearing ourselves out, but definitely showing up to the field like eager, like ready to get in between the lines and go to war.
Eloy Jimenez back in the lineup tonight at DH, and wait till you get a look at Luis Robert. Have any of your teammates told you, oh boy, Where do you see Luis Robert? That is a special athlete, Brian Goodwin. I know you saw him a little bit last year, but sharing a clubhouse and that dude with his shirt off, that is daunting. It's daunting, Brian. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, you made me take my shirt off in this interview, man. You going to give props like that?
All right.
He could have been a three-sport star, too. That's all we're saying.
Okay. No, yeah. I have heard good things, though. I think, you know, the outfielders talking, and I think Engel was giving them some praise one day, some pretty high praise, and kind of just, you know, forewarning me about what to expect when he got here. So, I mean, the anticipation is definitely built up. I look forward to playing alongside him and, you know, getting to know him and being in the clubhouse, sharing the clubhouse with him, locker room. I heard he's a great guy, too, so... All of that is definitely something to look forward to.
Well, Brian, our audience loved hearing you. We're getting a bunch of texts and messages on Twitch and all of that. Do you forgive me for the terrible introduction and calling you Billy Hamilton idiotically? Like, would you come out again and forgive my sin, or are we done here? One and done.
Look, man, I'm gonna have my people call your people, and we'll see what we can work out.
You're a good man, and I am an idiot. So thank you for being good natured about it. And hey, a bunch of us from the show are actually going out to the game tonight. So have a good one, and hopefully we talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Brian, you're a good sport. That is fun.
Thank you. That's that Brian
Goodwin.
Tremendous.
Oh man, that's a veteran right there.
God, I should retire.
No.
My skin is still crawling.
The purple. I mean, Danny's shirt.
So embarrassing.
Danny's shirt was lighter than his skin. And if you're watching on the Twitch, you see it's like a reddish orange shirt. His skin was a deep, deep shade of purple. The embarrassment. I know.
It happens. I mean, it happens.
It does. It happens. At least you didn't call him the outfielder.
No. How do you guys feel? Are you mad at me? How do we do?
I'm not mad at you. I'm just a little embarrassed for you.
Okay. Like that's fair.
Yeah, I feel that's it totally for fair. You.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Rick Camp in studio.
Close. That was it was not Rick Camp. It was Simpsons, but
okay.
That was Ralph Wiggum.
Ralph Wiggum.
They're very close, actually.
They really
it's
are,
good,
actually.
It's a good comp.
In fact, I believe Rick Camp was doing the draft show. He was wondering who the Bulls were going to choo-choo-choo.
Very good. Yes.
Thank you very much.
I did take a minute to peruse Danny Parkinson's mentions.
Yeah, don't look at your mentions.
How are they going?
Yeah, just give Twitter a rest. We'll do a great job as we have been already with the NBA
news. Oh, don't look at Twitch. Don't look at the text line. Don't look at your mentions.
No. But see, texters, and if you're with it, Billy was great. Brian, excuse me.
Jesus.
No, Goodwin was great. He was very funny. He laughed at it. He laughed at the whole thing. And just in general, sharp and funny and relaxed and having a good time. I think he represented extremely well. And
yeah,
that's,
better than I did. I am an idiot, and I once again apologize. So, wow, that's a thing that happened. Joe Strowski will join us in 15 minutes. Joe Cowley at 4 o'clock. DeMar DeRozan is a bull. Our pets' heads are falling off. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
As we welcome our next guest, the king of the bat flip, Billy Hamilton. Not Billy Hamilton, Brian Goodwin. I got the guy's page up right here. We prepped for it. We watched the video 100 times before the show. I apologize. Brian Goodwin joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Brian, thank you so much for being on the show and putting up with my idiocy. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing all right, man. I'm going to go grab Billy in a second so he can come in and finish.
No, I don't want to talk to Billy.
I don't want to be a pirate.
That was mortifying. Thank you, Tanny, for amplifying my insecurities and stupidity.
Man, add Brian Goodwin to the list of interesting stories and fun interviews for this White Sox team. My goodness.
It's an embarrassment of riches and likability.
Seriously. I mean, Tim Anderson is maybe the most fun interview in town, as you've talked about. Lance Lynn is a terrific talker and fun dude. Lucas Giolito is super smart and thoughtful and interesting. Liam Hendricks is outrageously entertaining. Eloy Jimenez is an absolute joy. to talk to and be around. I mean, Gavin Sheets was a great interview on this show. Jake Berger was a great fun story and a good guy to talk to.
We had fun with Evan Marshall.
Yeah.
When he was on the show.
Evan Marshall, terrific talker. Aaron Bummer, good talker. Adam Engel, interesting guy, thoughtful dude, good talker.
There hasn't been a single dud. The only dud was Yasmani Grandal, but that wasn't his fault.
I wouldn't call that a dud.
In terms of personality and on the everybody has been so good. Comparing it to like the Cubs players we talked to, none of them are any good except for Chafin to talk to.
Yeah, I like talking to Hendricks, but it's
different.
It's different. Yeah, it's a different type of fun with Hendricks.
KB was real good when he did the weekly with Burnsy and was it Goff? Was it Burnsy and Goff? Yeah. Yep. Is that the show?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we just rattled off like 12 guys. Carlos Rodon's a good talker and an interesting guy. I mean, they're just absolutely. Dallas Keuchel's an interesting guy. They're loaded.
Can I, will they sell me a Brian Goodwin jersey at the game tonight? Is that something that should happen?
The first thing I said to Tanny was, I think I'm going to go get Danny a Brian Goodwin t-shirt jersey tonight.
Get him a Brilly Goodwamilton jersey. Get him one of those.
No.
Hi, I am Brilly Goodwamilton.
Just, I'm an idiot. That's all that we need to say. I'm
Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Actually, I'm going to open my Venmo right now. Anybody who wants to Venmo to get Danny a legitimate, authentic Brian Goodwin jersey, I will get that for him tonight. Venmo Shane Reardon.
God.
Oh, man.
Just mortifying.
Just amazing.
The Bulls now have Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic, and Zach LaVine all on the same team. What does that do to their odds, their futures? How is the gambling market responding to this? We will talk to Joe Ostrowski about where the White Sox sit, where the Bulls sit. Then Joe Cowley at 4 o'clock. Big news day. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Proximity to me over fame and fortune is definitely what most financial advisors would recommend.
Afternoons on the score.
The great Joe Ostrowski is coming up next.
Good Polish kid.
In 15 minutes, we'll talk to Joe Cowley. The Bulls, the story of the day, trying to become competitive in the Eastern Conference. So our good friend Joe O joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. This segment, of course, brought to you by PointsBet. Joe O, it's been a minute. How you doing, man?
Yeah, it's only been a couple of years, fellas. How you doing?
Minute, years, whatever.
Yeah, it's all the same. Talked to your buddy Andrew Filippone this morning. He said, put it all on the Steelers under 8.5 this year.
Oh, yeah. He's not bullish on whatever version of Big Ben is going to be trotted out there.
Yeah. No, it's going to be ugly. They might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. But the NBA is why you guys called.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot for you, but what do, you know, they're not as good as Milwaukee, they're not as good as Brooklyn, I don't think they're as good as Miami or Philly, but they're really interesting. What do the gambling markets say, and how are they reacting to the Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan moves?
Well, in the last 24 hours, the Bulls' title odds have gone from 150-1 to 80-1. So they've been cut in about half. Speaks, I agree with what you said earlier this hour when you mentioned that the East is fascinating. And we spent all regular season and it was like, oh, the Eastern Conference is so boring. There are three pretty good teams and the rest is a bunch of trash. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of flipped during the playoffs. And now we're taking a look at it. It feels like the Bulls are on that third tier. At the very top, you've got the Nets and the Bucks. Then Sixers and Heat. Some spots have the Heat with shorter odds than the Sixers. We'll see what happens with Dame Lillard. And then the Bulls are coming in. The odds say that they're a playoff team right now. They have the seventh best odds of all the teams in the Eastern Conference. I guess if they play to their capabilities, if they take that next step, maybe they'll be with Atlanta and Boston.
Yeah, I think it's in play, which is fascinating, Joe. And those 80-1 odds that they jumped to, I think that was before the DeRozan acquisition. Right. So yep. I bet those will jump higher. I wonder where we're going to end up in terms of an over-under on win total for the Bulls in a crowded middle of the top of the Eastern Conference, if that makes any sense.
Well, you know how the score listeners are. I mean, we overreact to everything.
Yes.
We're going to bet on the Bulls over no matter what, no matter how high. So it's going to be inflated a little bit, but maybe they can get there. Maybe they can get there, and they won't have to deal with the play-in game. I mean, at this point, incremental steps. Aren't you good with tier three? Like, okay, yeah, let's make the playoffs and then see what else can happen. I mean, this past season, look at everything that lined up, and the Bucks are going up and down, and they have the title in the end.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of the DeRozan move as I am the Lonzo Ball move, but I'm here for respectable, I'm here for interesting, I'm here for competitive, I'm here for playoff series, and I'm here for just competency and being attractive and then seeing what happens. Like, maybe someone falls in love with your brand of basketball. You acquire some good assets and then flip it for someone else, and just like, you gotta crawl before you walk, walk before you run, and I think they've graduated from crawling to walking right now, which I like. We'll see where the gambling markets settle, but what about the White Sox? What happened to their odds? We can do team and any individuals that you find relevant post-trade deadline.
Well, I want to start with the individual award because we've seen some movement over the last couple of days. We found out last night what happened with Gerrit Cole, and he's been on the slide ever since, you know, the sticky stuff, and his numbers started to dip, and then he started to get back on track a little bit. Something I just didn't understand all year long. This was the case until last week. He was the favorite to be the American League Cy Young Award, and the numbers just, come on. It didn't make any sense. Like, there were multiple pitchers in the White Sox rotation that had better numbers than Gerrit Cole, but they were giving it on reputation. Well, that changed last week. Lance Lynn became the favorite on Sunday instead of Gerrit Cole. And now with that news of Cole last night, I consider Lynn the overwhelming favorite because you're laying a price, Danny. It's -125.
Wow.
You have to bet 125 to win 100. With 2 months of baseball left, they're saying Lance Lynn, clear-cut favorite right now, to be the AL Cy Young, and Rodon is right there in the picture, too. At the start of the season, you couldn't find odds on him. A couple of weeks into the year, they finally posted him at 30-1. But right now, Rodon's a third favorite.
How about the White Sox to win the American League? A lot of people's trendy pick right now. I wonder if the Astros are ahead of them, and are all the AL East teams kind of bunched together because of the craziness there?
Yeah, Speaks, right after the deadline, the Astros were still just above the White Sox. But that has flipped over the last couple of days. Just for the World Series odds, they're second and third behind the Dodgers. The White Sox are +500 at points bet. The Astros are +550. The most fascinating thing to watch down the stretch is the path, because it's the night, right? The nightmare situation.
Yeah.
White Sox and Astros, DS, right?
Oh, man.
That would be brutal. We have it's so close, we don't know which division is going to end up with that one seed. I'm kind of hoping the AL East beats up on each other.
Joe, one NFL thing, because, you know, I have to, and yes, it's not really a gambling segment if we don't talk a little football. All of the Colts injury news, I consider them a top five franchise right now in terms of how they operate top to bottom in the NFL, but their best player out 5 to 12 weeks, their new quarterback, Carson Wentz, out 5 to 12 weeks. What has been the reaction to the markets?
Great head coach, great front office, and this could be a mess. So the Titans are now the favorite, the overwhelming favorite, to win the AFC South. They are -140. The Colts have gone from +130 down to +170. Before the Wentz news, the win total was 9.5. Then it moved to 9, and now we're down to 8.5 today.
Wow.
I mean, so 5 to 12 weeks. So that's a wide, wide range.
That's an overbanger right there.
I mean, listen.
Don't you think?
Well,
overbanger. This
I just
sounds
came
very
up with
kinky.
That right now. Yeah. They bang the over, right?
I'm looking at this first half schedule. It's rough. Seattle, LA Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens, Niners, Titans again. I don't know. By the time Wentz returns, the season might be over. Trade for Nick Foles. Anything.
Yeah, just ask Nick Foles. You're getting someone who is better now than he was in the Super Bowl.
Why is the QB3 at the podium?
Come on, Joe. I know you are conquering the gambling content world, but you have to miss that type of audio on the score and just generic what the hell's going on with this guy's sports talk, right?
Oh, I called for it today on the air. Yeah, we played that.
Okay,
Nick
good.
Audio.
See,
yeah.
that's the thing. People are like, oh, are you really going to just do the gambling stuff or are you doing this? I'm like, the gambling stuff is this. And this is, you know, it all intermixes. Like, you guys can have fun with that Nick Foles stuff.
No doubt. And the Bears are 7.5. That's the win total. They're a big story. A lot of people don't know how to bet them because we have no idea when the good quarterback's going to be playing on the field.
Okay, so here's my logic on that, though.
Yeah.
They've never won fewer than 8 games with Matt Nagy. And even if they have Andy Dalton, he's better than any quarterback that they've had since Nagy's been there. And there's an extra game, and they should be playing Justin Fields sooner than later. I know the schedule's brutal, but I like the over. I'm not saying they're a 12-win team, but I think it's more likely that they win 9 games than 7.
I'm in a strange spot. I'm optimistic about this Bears season. I'm not used to this at all.
Yeah.
And I want to see him on the field in week 2. I mean, just the way the schedule plays out, that is the perfect spot. You've got Cincinnati in week 2, Detroit week 4, Vegas, they still don't have a defense in week 5. It's better than waiting. And then, I mean, you face tough defense, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Pittsburgh in the middle of the year. You don't want to start Fields then. And then what are you going to wait after the bye, week 11? No, that's way too long. Hopefully Dalton is terrible week 1 and Fields is out there week 2.
Can we bet that? Can people bet what week Justin Fields emerges as the starter for the Bears?
I haven't seen that yet. Right now, the only prop bet I've seen posted is for week 1, but I'm sure that will be available as we get more information. Obviously, Dalton, the overwhelming favorite to start week 1 against the Rams.
Joe Ostrowski on behalf of PointsBet. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
That is our good friend, Joe Ostrowski. Joe Cowley. The man has many opinions and many sources when it comes to the Bulls and the NBA. What does he think of DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and the new-look Bulls, and a complete roster turnover that's happened in just a year under Arturas and Mark Eversley? And what the hell's going to happen with Lauri Markkanen? It's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.